Hello and welcome to episode 356 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. I am one of the co-founders here at ETR, and we're coming off of a Calvin Ridley is one of us kind of story. Yes, that's right. Word broke last month that Calvin Ridley was betting on the NFL on the Hard Rock Florida app last season. That is, of course, against NFL rules. He was given a full year suspension. And by the way, I know I'm late here. Sorry about that. Been traveling a ton. Shout out to me, but I really did have to get to this story. So look, you know, obviously I have no problem with people betting on sports. Like, I literally do it and talk about it every day. Calvin Ridley was betting on NBA games, you know, 10K game or whatever. Clearly, no one should have an issue with that. You know, he's an adult. Let him blast on the NBA. But I got to say, and I know this is unpopular, I do think the NFL has to take a hard line here with guys betting on NFL games. You know, I know Ridley only bet somewhere between like 1,500 and 3,900. I know he didn't fix games. I know he didn't have inside information. I highly doubt he has any kind of gambling problem despite costing himself $11 million in 2022 and maybe more later. Like, I get all that. But the reason the NFL is what it is, I mean, the only thing that can hurt it right now is people thinking that the games aren't legit, that the outcome is decided beforehand, that the players are throwing games, that there's no integrity, you know, simply in the players and the coaches trying their hardest. So with legalized sports betting, you know, relatively new in our country, I really don't blame the NFL for throwing the book at Ridley, you know, make an example of sorts. And believe me, I fucking hate to cape for the league and Goodell and the owners. I hate it. But I understand the suspension here on Ridley. And I know what people are saying. You know, the NFL is a goddamn mess off the field. I mean, we have allegations that an owner, Stephen Ross, tried to bribe coaches to lose games. And look, if that's true, if you can actually prove that, I mean, send the dude to jail. You know, give him the electric chair for all I care. But we need proof, right? Ridley, on the other hand, I mean, he's betting on his own phone on a sports betting app. You know, it's clear as day. This is not a ref missing a call. This is just like idiotic, quite frankly. And his tweets afterwards, after the story broke, were so good. You know, he had a tweet, I bet 1,500 total. I don't have a gambling problem. And I couldn't even watch the football at that point. I mean, you know, join the club, Calvin. I mean, it's the best. He's like a phone shitter lineup, bro, except for parlays. You know, I love it. Anyway, I want to get to listener questions, but I do have to spend a couple minutes on the Tom Brady unretirement thing. So Tom Brady unretires, you know, whatever. I didn't think that was that shocking or really that big of a deal. I thought it was, you know, well within the range of outcomes. But what was shocking were the comments from Westgate Sportsbook's Jay Cornegay. I mean, holy fucking shit. Like, I expect bitching from random Pez on the internet. You know, I expect it from, you know, people who don't really get it. They're not really in the game. But Jay Cornegay, I mean, he's been around the block dozens of times. I thought he got it. I mean, you got to hear these quotes. This is a quote from Jay Cornegay. He says, if it was Jameis Winston at quarterback, we wouldn't have a problem with it. But when it's Tom Brady, you have a six-figure liability with, we're certainly not comfortable with it. That's a biggie. I mean, this is embarrassing. You're complaining about a six-figure liability. We're supposed to feel bad for you. You know, buddy, you're a fucking bookie at a massive Vegas book. My God. But he goes on. You know, he says, these were not casual bettors, the people who bet the Bucks futures. They would be characterized as educated bettors. It wasn't a guy with a Tom Brady jersey at the counter. It was a player they would describe as sharp. Yeah, look, you know, you hung 50-1, 60-1 on the Bucks to win the Super Bowl. You didn't have the information. And so for every 100 drunk idiots that the books are taking six figures off every weekend, they're smart people grinding their fucking cocks off, you know, looking for info, you know? So yeah, of course they're not, of course they're educated bettors. Of course they're not guys in Tom Brady jerseys. Cornegay goes on, there's no doubt in my mind that information leaked sometime in the middle of last week. This is concerning. I don't think I've ever said the NFL really needs to investigate something, but this is something they need to look into and how it got out, because there are many books that took some sizable wagers in the middle of last week. I mean, this is embarrassing. An NFL investigation, you know, into what? That Tom Brady decided to change his mind and you got caught holding your dick on it? You know, so now people have a bunch of 50-1 bucks Super Bowl tickets when they should be 9-1? You know, when you're the bookie, I mean, in my opinion, you can just absolutely, positively never, ever bitch, ever. Like, you're the one that's getting plus 110 on every straight bet. You know, you're the one juicing markets such as futures even harder than that. You're the one with access to what sharp people are betting. You're the ones massively limiting anyone who's winning. So I don't want to hear whining that someone got wind of this Brady news and got 60-1 Bucks tickets against you. I mean, that's seriously insane. You have the market up. It's on you to defend it. Everyone saw that Cristiano Ronaldo video, right? I mean, everyone knew there was a chance Brady would be back. So don't put the market up if you can't defend the risk. I just, that one was insane. I honestly couldn't believe it. All right. Want to get to listener questions, but before I do, I have to remind everyone about line shopping and bonus whoring. I know it sounds absurd, but like you can bonus whore your way to a sick vacation thanks to these sportsbooks who are so desperate for customer acquisition. The best deal that we have is this BetMGM one. You sign up with our link. It's in the show notes. You get an $85 coupon to use on any ETR product in the next year, and you get $1,000 in free bets. But all the other books have sick deals too. You can check them out on our sportsbook bonus offers page on the site. All right, enough is enough. Producer Luke, hit the theme music. All right. Thanks to everyone for the questions. Question one from Steven Sullivan. He says, I see you're live for the Millie for the Players Championship. How do you think the golf sweat compares to the NFL sweat? And are you a consistent DFS golf player? Also 1A from Brian Woodson. He said, we need golf content during the offseason. Basketball is too much of a grind for me. Any chance of branching out to a golf category? Yeah, so I figured I'd take these two golf questions at the same time. So I've gotten really into golf over the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, you know, not playing actual golf. I mean, DFS golf and betting on golf. It's just such a great sweat. It's a light game in terms of time and commitment. There's not much injuries or correlation or, you know, rotation changes from coaches. I think, you know, for betting, the tails are not priced in too well. So like there's a chance to hit real long shots. It's just fun. As for the million, the players, yeah, I had a ridiculous team in the huge lotto for the Players Championship, the $25 buying with a million to first. I basically needed Cam Smith, Keegan Bradley, Shane Lowry, Sam Burns to all finish in the top 10 or so with one of them winning. So got the Cam Smith win. Keegan finished fifth, but Burns really fell apart at the end and shot four over on Sunday. And Shane Lowry shot even par on Sunday. Wasn't good enough. He finished 13th. So I finished 69th out of 118,000 entries for dust. So, you know, it was frustrating, but it was fucking fun sweat, man. I'd say the sweat on golf is probably not as exhilarating as NFL. Like in the NFL, you get a bomb that can change an entire slate. But in golf, like every single shot at the end matters for either your team or someone trying to beat you. Every shot matters around the cut. So it's great. But obviously watching a dude swing a club is not as exciting as football. But still, you know, Brian's points in his question are well taken. As we get older, we have kids, there's less time. People are actually playing golf more. Like I know there's a big market for golf content. I don't want to make any promises because look, like obviously we could throw together some projections and do some shows and maybe it would be fine, but we don't want to put anything out that isn't the absolute best and know that like we're really dedicated to doing it the best way possible. So it's a little bit harder than it seems, but yeah, we're working on it. Stay tuned. Question two from Printing Benjamin. He says, what are the prerequisites required for someone to change their political opinion on a given subject? I'm willing to change my mind on anything given new information, but this doesn't seem to be a commonly held principle. Yeah, I agree with you, Benjamins. I mean, wholeheartedly. To me, a huge sign of intelligence is ability to digest new information and come off your priors. Like, just be willing to change your mind on anything, really. You know, politics is, of course, the obvious one where people on both sides are just so intolerant. But I also think, like, in sports and gambling, like, I struggle with it for sure. A lot of times, for me, it's like these undersized wide receivers getting, you know, 5, 6, 7 targets a game, but just crushing inefficiency. You know, I have trouble getting my head around them. But generally, you know, for everything in life, I think your point is well taken, Printing Benjamins. Question three from Phil. He says, hey, Adam, any advice on what to do when you get limited? Is DFS the natural progression? Is there any hopes of getting limits removed? Thanks a ton. Yeah, Phil, I presume, is talking about getting limited by sportsbooks. And in my experience, there's really nothing you can do once it happens. Like, it sucks, but once you get flagged, like, it's over. And, you know, I've been thrown out of live books. I've been limited to essentially nothing. And It's cool. At first, you know, you feel like a big shot, like some mega sharp the casinos fear, but then you realize it's just fucked because like you can't bet. So I think the natural progression that Phil is talking about here is finding beards. You know, I'd recommend Spanky's Pod with Omar Alibab for more on that. I think the natural progression is just finding more books and disguising your action better. But yeah, I mean, anything peer-to-peer, you know, it's just another reason that I love poker and DFS or anything else where I'm playing another person, you know, another peer. Not only do I think I can create bigger edge, but there's just so much liquidity. I mean, if you want to play 500K in a Sunday of NFL DFS, you can do that no problem. It's pretty insane. If I want to bet $300 on an NFL prop, I got to jump through a zillion hoops with accounts and everything like that. Question 4 from Craig R. He says, give us some good Evan Silva stories. We're also here for the oral history of how ETR came to be. What changed in your situation / mindset to nudge you to take the leap? Yeah, oral history of ETR would be cool to do sometime. It would take a while, though. Obviously not going to do it now. I mean, we're only in our third year. What I would say on that, though, is I don't really think of ETR as starting in 2019 when we actually launched. In reality, you know, Evan and I had been building our audience since like literally 2006, 2007. So, you know, 12 years prior to launching ETR. So I know maybe to some people it sounds easy, you know, like you just show up, you turn on the site, it all works out. But in reality, like if we weren't building authenticity, credibility, volume over the previous 12 years, like ETR would have never worked. As for Silva stories, though, yeah, I mean, that's the good stuff, but I can't even tell any on here. Like, I'm sorry, I can't. Question 5 from Tim Parker. He says, what's your position on yoga pants? It seems to be getting out of hand. And 5A from Rob, he says, can we get a rant on spandex and how it's blatant cheating? I actually can't believe I got two questions on this topic in the same week. Really weird. So yes, I've noticed this over the last, I don't know, 2 to 4 years, like the standard outfit for women has become these like incredibly outrageously tight yoga pants or spandex pants. I mean, I don't know. Am I allowed to say I love it? I'm not really sure what Tim's issue could be. He says it's getting out of hand. I'm not sure what he means. Now, as for Rob's question, are these yoga pants blatant cheating? I mean, I think that's a leap too far. I mean, if your girl is wearing these, is she going to attract extra attention from men? Yes. Will she like that? Perhaps. Is that cheating? Man, I don't think so, but that's a question you got to ask yourself, Rob. But come on, Rob and Tim, let's not ruin this for the rest of us. Jesus. Question 6 from Frankie. He says, I used to wear my beanie like you, but after hearing Ashley lay into you, do I need to reconsider who I get my fashion advice from? Yeah, you see the issue here, Frankie, isn't the beanie. It's not the way I wear it. It's nothing to do with that. The issue is that I look good in nothing, period. Like I could go to fucking Miami and spend 20K in the Johnny Versus store and I still look like shit. You know, it doesn't matter. So yeah, of course the beanie doesn't look good. I guarantee fucking you that if James Franco or Leo DiCaprio were wearing their beanie like me, Ashley would say, oh, that's the way to wear it. It's a lot. Question 7 from Greg. He says, how do you feel about knowing one day your kids will be older and can listen / watch all of your content? Yeah, I actually think the worst time is now. You know, they're 7 and 4 now. They don't really understand, you know, what's a joke and what's serious. So they go on YouTube and they find some absurd thing that I said. They go and repeat it. They think that's how they're supposed to talk, et cetera. I actually think it's safer when they get older and they get what I'm doing, you know, hopefully. You know, and not to compare myself to Howard Stern at all, but, you know, he has 3 daughters. I believe they all grew up to be well-adjusted, you know, regular humans. So, you know, is there a chance that one day they'll find these solo pods and they can grow up to be, you know, deranged mutants? Sure, but I think it's a chance we have to be willing to take. All right, question 8, last question we're going to do today comes from the one and only. He says, after being on the hashtag team and having a couple kids, my wife is suggesting a vasectomy as it's a less invasive procedure on men than women. I know this will drastically reduce my VIT, vaginal insertion time, but wearing a Jimmy cap, cash play, just isn't in the top 1% of outcomes I'm looking for in a big GPP score. So I take the plunge and get the cord snipped. What's my play? What's your play in my shoes? Or is Gender Labs developing any new products that don't involve scissors and blades? It's actually ironic you bring this up, one and only, because I have news. Big news, actually. After more than 4 years of contemplating, stressing, researching, panicking, I have worked up the courage to schedule my own vasectomy appointment. It is currently scheduled for March 28th, aka Monday. And I gotta say, man, I'm petrified. I mean, I'm petrified of needles around my dick during the procedure. I'm petrified it's gonna get botched. I'm petrified of long-term effects. You know, what if my rope throwing ability is hindered going forward? What if there's a loss of sensation? What if I can no longer go full sword? But look, it's just time, man. You know, sometimes in life, it's just time to face your fears, and Gender Labs has no other plays for us. The R&D team has exhausted all the sims there. So we'll see how it goes on Monday, man. Maybe I'll try to live stream it. You know, that would be all time. We'll see. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Solo Pod. I appreciate you all being here. If you're listening on iTunes or watching on YouTube or anything like that, hit the subscribe button. It is indeed free. Helps us out a lot. For producer Luke, for Jerry, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.